Well, hello out there in Radio Land, and welcome to BBS Radio, one of the greatest places to find the news that you can't find anywhere else. We cut through all the BS, and we get to the real deal. Welcome to Pets in Fur, People in Fur Coats. This will be my first radio show, and I look forward to many more and hope that I can provide the information for everyone about our pets, and I'm particularly with all this pet recall of foods and the cat and the dog, wet and dries, I mean, it's really scary. And I hope that the next show that we do, that some of the cowards from Menu Food, who I've been trying to make contact with, will at least have the courage to come forward and do an interview with, hopefully with us. I think it would be interesting. there is more information trickling out now. I just received an email today, and they said there is a new one that's been recalled, cat and dog foods, that perhaps you guys might want to know. This is from, in fact, I'll read you the email. It's from Dr. Jean. I subscribe to his emails that he sends out all the time. And he says, I don't want to overload you with emails, but I want to keep you updated on the new recalls. It was brought to my attention that a couple of more foods were added to the pet food recall list. The food recall information in the press has taken a backseat to the horrible Virginia college shooting, and our prayers are with them, but I want to keep you up to date. According to the FDA, Menu Foods has previously recalled wet cat and dog foods produced with adulterated wheat gluten supplied by Kim Nutra, Inc. Now, I'll pause here for a moment. We're finally now getting the name. How long has that been, folks? A month? That they wouldn't even release the name of the company that this supposed adulterated wheat gluten came from? Now we have a name. It's Kim Nutra, Inc. Over the past several days, Menu Foods continued a detailed analysis of production records of its Emporia, Kansas plant as part of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's ongoing investigation of this adulterated wheat gluten. As a result of this work, Menu Foods advises the public that one additional item has been added to the recall list, as well as two additional production dates of eight varieties of pet foods. These eight varieties of pet food have previously been withdrawn from the market and should already be off the retailer's shelves. I'll pause here for a moment again. I found what was alarming, even in my local area here, at the co-ops and different places, even the Walmart stores, that after this cat and dog food recall here 3-4 weeks ago, did you know that it was still up to the discretion of the particular store outlet retailers as to whether to actually pull the food or not? So if you're one of those people that's not in the loop and don't keep track of what's going on, don't check, you know, the news and that kind of stuff, these people were still unsuspectingly buying these foods and feeding them to their pets. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have thought about all those people who never made it to the vet with their pets because they couldn't afford the vet bills. There's a lot of people across this country, folks, that are grieving and mourning the deaths of their little loved ones that they've lost in their homes that never made it to be on that statistics list. And now I will also let you know, for confirmation, you can go to petconnections.com, and they have a forum set up there where people can participate on a one-on-one individual basis to list your pets, what you were feeding, and that, you know, who your vet was, so that they can do a follow-up. And folks, I'll tell you that this little 16, well, actually they kept saying it was like four cats and dogs, mostly cats, and then it went to, I think, 11 or 12. Actually, it's well over 4,000 that they have documented on petconnection.com right now. That's the ones that were actually went to the vet and had the diagnosis done. There are thousands more, I assure you, between Mexico and Canada and here. That's another thing. A lot of people think this was just exclusive to the United States. No, there were many pets also dying across Canada and Mexico also. It's a tragic thing, and it really does make you think, where do we go from here? And if this wheat gluten, now keep in mind, wheat gluten is also used in many human food manufactured products also. So why are we not hearing that? I guess what we need to do is our own detective work. Now that we have Kim Nutra, Inc., and let's find out who they are. Are they bought and traded on our stock markets? China's in denial about this, totally. They said that this they didn't have anything to do with this. And interestingly enough, on the radio this morning, Paul Harvey, he said at the end of his little commentary speech that he gives every morning, which I enjoy thoroughly, but he said they are now suspect of the fact that this was maliciously done. So what does that mean? Maliciously done. By who and why? Would this not be called bioterrorism? At some level, I believe that it would. I don't really know what all the answers are out there, but I can tell you that it's real scary. There have been, in fact, the FDA has been recommending that we just feed them, cook for them, in other words, until they can really figure out what's going on, trace it. In other words, if in doubt, to be safe, because I know we all love our little people in fur coats, then we need to be cooking for them. And, you know, I think the rule of thumb here is to use common sense when cooking for them. Give them a healthy, natural type of food with variations of menu, such as rice and chicken. You can do brown rice. You can do regular white rice. Rinse the starch off. Bake the chicken in the oven, fried food, just as it's not good for us, it's not good for them either. No breads. They don't do well on breads. It causes obesity. But then doesn't it also in humans too? And lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. And you can get them to eat it raw. My babies eat it raw. I have a little peek-a-poo who absolutely loves to eat the flowerets of broccoli. Green beans are excellent form. Potatoes, sweet potatoes. Carrots. Carrots, there's a really good one. It's also good for their eyesight, just like it is for ours, too. You can feed them steak if your budget allows for that. Mine doesn't, but I'm sure there's some of you out there that can do that. But the point being is that we're going to have to get away from these manufactured foods. I've said for a long time that they were not healthy. In fact, I always recommend to people who have little teacups, you know, the toy breeds, the little tiny ones, they're 3 and 4 pounds, feed them. They require a high protein diet, and they need to eat chicken and, you know, turkey and things like that. And, of course, you supplement it with the vegetables and fruits and stuff. Strawberries, cantaloupe, watermelon, anything you can get them to eat that is healthy for you, healthy for them, other than we need to, of course, you know that chocolate is not good for dogs. It's highly toxic to them, just like aspirin is. I mean, not aspirin, Tylenol, I'm sorry, Tylenol. In fact, if you ever need to give a dog an aspirin, you should use baby aspirin. And then you supplement them with, my vet always tells me, Fred Flintstone's vitamins, a half a tab a day for the smaller ones, a full tab for the larger guys. It just works well, you know, as opposed, or you can go the route of the Nutristat or NutriCal. And I think we'll get through this. You know, there's numerous recipes on the internet also to make meals for them that you can cook and pre-make it ahead for 3 or 4 days at a time so you don't find yourself constantly in the kitchen cooking for just them. But you can actually put this stuff, you know, in the refrigerator, or if you want, freeze it in little individual pouches for them. But I think to be safe that this is where we have to go. So I will finish this email at the moment here and tell you that most of the foods are already off the shelf, but it's important to check what you have in your homes and make sure it is not on the list. Check them often as new brands are periodically being added. For information on an updated list, call Menu Foods. And everybody got a pencil and paper, I'm going to give you the number. It is 1-866-895-2708. I'll repeat that number one more time. 1-866-895-2708. Or you can go to this article where you'll find, we'll also find a full history of the pet food recall. I hope that helps everyone, but here is the additional recall of food. It's, the dog food is Natural Life. Look for this date on the bottom of the can. It's November 22, 09. Variety, vegetarian, 13.2-ounce cans. UPC codes are 12344-07114. That UPC code again is 12344 07114. And again, that is the Natural Life, the canned, dated expiration, November 22, 2009. Variety is the vegetarian 3.2 ounce cans. Now, also in the new, just recently added recall is Natural Balance, and that's the venison and brown rice dog food formula. Once again, Natural Balance, the venison and brown rice canned dog food. Natural Balance venison and brown rice formula, dog treats. Here we go with dog treats again. We'll talk about another treat that's also been recalled in a minute with for Simonella. Then the last one on this list that's just been added is Natural Balance, venison and green pea dry cat formula. If your pet is eating or was eating one of the recalled foods and is experiencing any symptoms, please call your veterinarians immediately. We recommend testing and treating all affected pets. And folks, if it's caught early, kidney failure can be treated successfully in some of the pets. Although it's not real successful, but it can be. Timing is everything. If this toxin take a hold of the kidneys and it affects them too bad, it begins to shut down everything else in their body, just as it does in us humans. And finally, the doc says, I sincerely hope that your pets are not affected. If you have any questions, send them to me. I won't be able to respond to every email, but I'll try to include answers to your questions in my next update. Again, if you have any doubts about this matter and you want to get the latest details to know how to keep your pet safe, and this, and he gets a website that says it's clicks, C-L-I-C-K-S dot A-W-E-B-E-R dot com with /Z/YJTRWBDXFWEIM5VPLKM2Q. Well, that was a long one there. But if you have any questions or really would like to know more about this, I suggest that everyone go to petconnections.com. It's a wealth of information over there. And these folks have basically done that to help kind of figure out where we're at in all of this. Other things that we'll talk about in my program, in my show as we go on, we're going to talk about vaccines, the harm that they do after a certain point when we continue to over-vaccinate our little guys. That includes the parvo 5-in-1s and the rabies when there are alternatives out here. In fact, I hope to have some guests on who are holistic veterinarians. We'll also be doing shows about specific breeds and what would be the best breed for your family, what's best suited for you so that these little guys don't get placed into a home that probably wasn't the correct type or size for that home and what your lifestyle is. Other things that we'll be talking about are the different holistic treatments for different things. In other words, just how to keep our pets well. You know, I believe in preventive maintenance, not waiting till they get sick. And of course, you know, most of the time when we go to the vet, well, they don't get paid if they're not sick, do they? So we're going to learn how to take care of our pets, because my motto is the more you stay away from the vets, the healthier they will be. And it's no different than with us humans. The more you stay away from the doctor, the healthier you will be. So we have to learn to take responsibility as individuals for ourselves and for our family members. And our little four-leggeds are also family members. I hope that you guys will enjoy the show. Don really caught me off guard here today. Didn't know what was going on today. So I'm just kind of ad-libbing it here and winging it for my first show. But I really would appreciate phone calls out there. If anyone has any questions or has ideas of where they'd like to see the show go, you know, specific topics or subjects that we can, you know, delve off into. I suppose now since we've gotten the new dog food recall and cat foods that just came out today, I'll tell you a little bit about who I am. I was born and raised on a farm. way back in 1955, I was born in a little farm in rural southeast Kansas. Grew up on that farm, and I loved it. Rode my horses every day when I was older. Milked dairy cattle. In fact, when I was 3 years old, some magazine came out and took a picture of me milking a Holstein cow. I was sitting there on my little stool just milking them. I didn't believe it as I got older, but my parents showed me the magazine in the picture. So that everybody still laughs about that. But from there, I went on to be involved in 4-H. I started grooming horses and cattle for show. You know, of course, we went around to the fairs, won lots of trophies, had a lot of fun while I was a teenager. And then I moved into the city and figured there wasn't going to be a lot of need for grooming horses or cattle, you know, within the city limits. So I said, might want to go to the smaller animals. So I apprenticed under a lady for 3 years and learned how to groom and become what they call a master groomer. And I've been grooming for years now, never stopped. I have a love for the animals. God gave me that gift, and I can't imagine myself doing anything else but working with the animals, because through working with the animals, I can also work with people. The animals give me the door into people's hearts also, and then I can try to help them to understand life on a different scale, as opposed to what they hear so much out there is just contrary to what's really the truth. But I am encouraged that so many more people are starting to take responsibility for their pets, and they're looking for alternative medicine for them, and including for themselves. Because, you know, let's face it, folks, we're all in this together, and we all have to be our brothers and sisters' keepers. We, of course, you know, the powers that be like to plot us against one another, but if we unite together and understand that we truly all are from the source, there's nothing that can come between us, no matter what. And our little animals are just a window into what life can really be for humans, too. I'll tell you that human beings could learn so much from the animals if we'd only watch and pay attention. For instance, let's talk about unconditional love. You know, sometimes in the mornings when we get up, we're kind of grouchy. And we don't have time because we're off to the man's job and we're pushing that 9-to-5 clock. And we don't have time to pursue those things in life that we'd really like to do. We're a slave to the economy and to our wants and what we think we need. And these little guys, they'll sit there and they'll look, and we maybe was a little gruff when we walked out the door. And we might have even yelled at them if we really didn't get up on the right side of the bed. But guess what? You come back home at lunch, maybe, you know, by 10 in the morning, you're feeling a little guilty about how you left the house. You know, you didn't pat little Sissy or little Fifi on the head and say, you be good today, and Daddy and Mama see you when we get back. But that's okay, because when you walk back through the door, all's forgiven and all's forgotten. I'm sure you can relate to that. They're there with that tail of the wagon and them wet little kisses and licks to let you know I love you. How many humans you know do that? Well, if you've chewed somebody else out in the house when you've left that morning, didn't leave on good terms, I can pretty much assure you that probably 85 to 90% of households, when you walk back in that door at lunch or evening when you get there, somebody's still going to have their lips stuck out and a little upset with you. Maybe a lot upset, depending on how tense it was. The animals don't. And that's why I say, if we could learn to give unconditional love as they do, hold no grudges, and always willing to be there and give and love, and they don't care if they get it back. That's just a plus for them. Now, what do you think if we could do that? The world would be a better place to live, wouldn't it? I would have to say. I know that someday I see the world changing for positive, although it's really hard to see that happening when the news dwells on 90% negative, and if we're lucky in a newscast every night, we might get 5% good news, maybe 10%. Majority, though, is at least 90% all bad, which gives us the illusion that the whole human species and everything going on is just, you know, we're just a sorry lot of humanity here. I have to disagree with them. I see so many changes happening out here for the positive. There's a lot of good things going on, such as this radio show. There has never been a more need for such as the programming of BBS Radio than what there is today. And I think a lot of people, and as it grows, and I'm sure that it will, that this will be an opportunity for a lot of people where they're opening their eyes, they're starting to wake up, the veil is lifting for them, but they don't know where to turn. They don't know where to seek out that knowledge that their hearts now quenches for. And now they have BBS Radio. This is just a matter of us getting out there and promoting this programming so that people have the same opportunity that we have had to come into this knowledge and understanding and begin to sort through all of the lies and the misleadings and the intentional things that these governments and dark shadowy entities have tried to pull, well, I'll just say the wool over our eyes, because that's basically what it is. And another subject that we're soon going to delve off into, I don't know if you've heard about the National Animal ID System. It's just like the National for Humans ID System that they wanted to go to of May 2008. Well, this National Animal ID thing is for January of 2008. You see, their neat little plan was get the animals tagged, and then we're going to tag the people 6 months later. Well, there's a lot of states that said, whoa, wait a minute, let's back up. In fact, Wyoming, I read yesterday, has said absolutely not, nada, we are not going with this national ID system because there's no money support for it. But here we go back again once again. Money, it's just about money. So I guess if the federal government would provide all the money for them, well, then they'd do that. But see, here's the catch to all this. They want the states. And folks, we pay for all of these services in our states through our taxes. But they want the states to pay for all of this, but the federal government gets to get it come in to the states and dictate how things are going to be run. I don't believe in big government. I believe that the government should be small, and your rural, small community government should be ran by the people within that community. That's a lot of what the problem is with our country and around the globe today. We have way too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I feel that we need a different structure. You know, in this National Animal ID program they're established, right now it's voluntary. That's why nobody seems to be too upset. But folks, you should read the fine print, because come January 2008, and I've not heard different, I will let you know if something's different. But I'm going to try to get some of the top people that are organized and fighting this. On state levels and federal levels too, and they're lobbying up there in Washington D.C. and I will have them on the show very soon here, I hope. But what this bill amounts to, I'll just sum it up in a nutshell real quick for everyone, is that they actually are going to have you tag. Like I said, right now it's voluntary, so I think it's like $3 per head or $5, don't quote me on that, for each animal to have an RFID tag put in them, chip. After January 2008, that will go to like $100 per head. This includes cats, dogs, chickens, rabbits, horses, cattle, doesn't matter. I guess maybe if they could, they'd try to figure out how to tag the honeybees. Then they could figure out why they're not going back to their hives and where they're dying, because they can track them with their RFID. Little joke, humor there, but said sarcastically. But just to show you how intrusive this will be, even if you have like two dogs on your property or you have one horse, you will still qualify as having to be under this law. And you can go to the government. It's under the agricultural, USDA agricultural, .gov, and you can read about this National Animal ID System, although they make it sound just what a wonderful idea this would be. We can track the animals from mad cow disease. Well, excuse me a minute. Do the dogs have mad cow disease? I'm a little confused. Do the cats have mad cow disease? I thought it was the cows. Oh, wait a minute. No. The cows don't have it either. That's in every other country, but not here. Or is it? Those are other subjects that we'll get into. Because a lot of Alzheimer's is being caused by the mad cow disease, spondylitis. I'm sure I did not pronounce that right. But here's the deal. I have a horse, and I want to go to this horse show over here in the next town. Once this law goes into effect, I want, now, of course, keep in mind, my horse is RFID chip now, but they have a number for me, and my number as my farm, whether I have a farm or not, but that's how this is going to be wrote up, but my number goes into the global GPS system up there in those satellites orbiting Earth, and I have to call and let them know, whoever my state, I suppose, party for the government, I have to let them know that my horse is leaving the premises. I have to let them know where it's going. And then, when I get through with going to that, you know, that horse show or whatever we're going to go to, even if you're going for a ride, folks, off of your property, this is the point I want to make. This is, if you take these animals off your property, you have to notify the federal USDA. And then when you come back on your property with these animals, you immediately have to call and check in. Let them know you're back. Does that sound like freedom? I don't think so. That's why it's so important that we get behind the people that have spent long hours fighting this for the last couple of two or three years. And we really need to get behind them and push and help them to stop this. This is just chipping away at our freedoms more and more and more. And the animal ID, first of all, I don't agree with chips. My personal preference, I don't think the testing's been done long enough. I think it messes with the electromagnetics of their bodies, and I think it will cause cancers and all kinds of blood disorders and stuff in our animals. My personal preference. Don't have proof of that yet, but I'm working on it. I do have proof of that over-vaccinating. And another great website that you guys can go to, you can do a little homework so that you can follow along in our next show that we'll be doing. Donna and I are going to have to get together on whether that's once a month or every 2 weeks, but we'll work it out. And you can go to Shirley's, that's S-H-I-R-L-E-Y-S, with a hyphen, wellness, W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S, hyphen, cafe, C-A-F-E, and that's .com, I believe. Vast wealth of knowledge there about vaccines, about children's vaccines. There's even videos that you can watch of your human doctors talking about the dangers of these vaccines and the horrific increase of autism. And why, another thing too, of this over-vaccinating our pets, a direct symptom of what's going on here. And I have books, in fact, some of these vets I'll be bringing on to the show that have written books talking about that they've had their practices for 30 and 40 years, and they say at this point, the allergies, skin allergies, ear infections, all of this stuff is absolutely epidemic, and they have started to trace it back to over-vaccinating. Isn't that interesting? Because, well, let me explain it to you like this. When we were children, and we went to the doctor, our parents took us to the doctor, or our children even, when we become adults and had children and took them to the doctor, and they got their childhood, key word here is childhood vaccinations. When they became adults, or we did they still continue to tell us now that every year we got to come back and get a booster for those shots, those same shots we got as a child? No. Now, why is that? Because when we were children and we were given these vaccines, things so we could be admitted in school, blah, blah. Well, our bodies built antibodies, which caused, in return, an immunity to the diseases that we were inoculated against. Well, gee, dogs and cats are mammals too, aren't they? They're warm-blooded, you know, primate animals, and all of them. We're not reptilians, we're not birds, so that would fall under the same guidelines, I would believe. The make long story short here, guys, they don't need all these vaccines. After they've had all their puppy series or kitty series, and then they've had their first year booster, and then they're ready. Pretty much they're covered for 7 to 13 years out. You can still take them to the vet every year, but rather than just immediately injecting them with more of this, there's a blood test that can be done. It's called a titer, T-I-T-E-R, count. It's just a simple drawing of blood. And costs is anywhere from $40 up to $80, depending on the clinic you go to. And most vets have the capability of doing it right there in the office. If they don't, I'm sure you could encourage them to set themselves up where they could. And then it doesn't take very long before you can see when they get, you know, they shake the blood and they find out where the antibodies are. And then you come back and you say, well, they're not really covered for this one here, and that one's weak. This coverage is almost up on that one. So you vaccinate for only those ones that they don't have coverage for. Why do we continue to keep vaccinating them over and over for diseases that they already have the antibodies build up in their blood? What you do is you tweak their immune system so bad that then they begin to, the immune system breaks down, it gives out, and then you have autoimmune diseases. Well, you know, once that happens, you have leukemias, you have cancers, you have tumors. Speaking of tumors, rabies vaccine has formaldehyde in it. Reason why I gave you Shirley's Wellness Cafe to go to is that there's a whole segment there on her site that talks about a big research program going on right now from, I believe it's Michigan and California's veterinarian college. They have waived their fees to do this research study. They have volunteers come forward with their cats and dogs to participate in this. And they're saying that they're going to try to prove that it's 5 to 7 years is no, we shouldn't be vaccinating our babies more than every 5 to 7 years, where in some states now it's 1 year, other states 3 years, just depends on where you're located. And what they're finding is an alarming number of these pets that are coming in to participate in the program have cancerous tumors, and you'll never guess where. Right at the site of the injection area where they inject the rabies vaccine. Coincidence? Well, I don't think so. So these are just all words of caution, and we'll get some experts on the radio show here to, you know, where we can actually talk to them and ask them questions. And some of the guests I'll have might be a little controversial. Some of them I won't even agree with where they're coming from. But we need to hear both sides of the view, I think, and then draw our conclusions. Although I drew my conclusions many years ago, and because I've been doing this for so long, and I've raised little teacup babies, and boy, they are some special needs little guys when they're little, but they're so much fun. I just love little teacups. I love all dogs, cats. I love all animals. And I think it's a wonderful world. I don't know about you, but I can imagine living in my world without animals in it. And you know, years, millennia ago, mankind was given dominion over the animals. And we were supposed to care for them and look out for them because we were supposed to have more sense. Today, sometimes I wonder. But we'll get there. We definitely will. Well, we're back, folks, and that was a well-needed 5 minutes there. The throat was getting a little dry. Getting back to the national animal ID system, I will have to speculate here. Here again, my opinion, but I do believe that some things that this law that they're trying to implement is very draconian, but then most all laws coming out of Capitol Hill are. But this is not only furthermore of tightening down, clamping down on control of us, but I don't know if you've thought about the really biggie here. This is a way to shut down your little mom and pop organic farms. And by doing that, then they have just checkmated us and they have total control over our food sources and food supply and the quality of food that we get. And they want to go to the big, huge corporate farms. And where if you don't take this national ID, which eventually would turn into the chip, that as well, we won't go into all that history, but we know what that all entails. And this is a form of control over the food and the water. What better way to keep a group of people under control? If you control the food, you control the water, you control the people, you control the masses. And this is their game. Don't kid yourself. If you don't believe me, check out Agenda 21 with the UN. You know, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but in their little plans with the Agenda 21 of the UN, and in fact, I read an article not too long ago here, because remember, I'm from Kansas, and my mother brought it to my attention in a little local newspaper there in Kansas, where they were talking about that they are reintroducing, are you ready for this, because, you know, that's the prairies, that's the plains of the United States. They're introducing camels and zebras and antelope, and I forget, but all kinds of exotic animals. They're turning them loose out into the wild so that they can rehabitate that area. Because, you know, during the Macedonian times, all these types of, they found all kinds of, you know, archaeological digs have found these animals, even woolly mammoths up down into Kansas and in those areas. And they're going to repopulate that whole area, so it becomes a, correct me if I'm wrong here, a biosphere, where actually our elite can go out and play and do like safaris here in the United States too, and all of us servants that are left over after Agenda 21 is implemented, well, we'll be in cities, you know, stacked on top of each other, and we'll just be there to serve their beckoning call and their needs. Folks, I don't think it's going to go down that way. I think big man upstairs, creator, has a whole nother game in store for everyone, but we shall see. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the pet food recall. I don't know if anyone knew this. I found it really interesting. But did you guys know that Menu Foods CFO, right, this this article is dated April 10th, and right before they did the recall on the pet food, just so happens that he sold his stock in Menu Foods. The chief financial officer of Menu Foods Income Fund says it's a horrible coincidence that he sold nearly half his units in the pet food company less than 3 weeks before a massive product recall. Gee, you think he might have knew something? Insider trading reports confirm that Mike Wyans sold 14,000 units, or 45% of his stock, for $102,900 on February 26th and February 27th, reports The Globe and The Mail. The shares would be worth $62,440 at current prices, and Wyans still owned 17,193 units and options to purchase more after the sale. And when he was asked about this, his only comment was, "It's a horrible coincidence." Oh, right. I hold myself to the high, he's saying here, I hold myself to the highest ethical and moral standards possible. I wouldn't do anything to imperil the high governance standards that I demand of myself or anybody in this country. Oh, let's wait a minute here now. Did he call that ethical when they'd had many complaints already coming in but chose not to go public with this? And so they took, I think it was 50 or 60 cats, cats and dogs, and fed this food to them, see how soon they would die? That sounds like we're real ethical, doesn't it? And, of course, I believe seven, I'll have to find the article. We'll talk about that on the next show. I think it was 7 out of every 10 of these 50 or 60 dogs and cats died. There was more cats than dogs that died, but nevertheless, most of them perished. Now, they purposely fed these dogs and cats knowing that they were going to be sick and die. They just wanted to see where, how, and when. That is despicable. And in fact, the PETA people are really, really after this whole little company called Menu Foods. Of course, I have my issues with them, too. But I suppose we all need to do something in terms of helping. And we are all on the same path as long as we all get there. We're just traveling different roads. Anyway, the Streetsville, Ontario company eventually issued a recall for 60 million containers of dog and cat foods on March 16th. In terms of process, during any given year, we get consumer complaints all the time, and it becomes matter of course for our technical people. So it's not something that necessarily gets flagged right to the top on an ongoing basis. Y'all believe that? I don't. Okay, Henderson said in a recent press conference that by March 6th, it was evident that something was wrong with some of the company's products. Wyans says he has not been contacted by the Ontario Securities Commission or any other regulators since the problem erupted at Menu Foods. Well, folks, do you know why they haven't been contacted from regulators? There are no regulations on the manufacture of cat and dog foods. Don't believe me? Check it out for yourself. There is no regulatory committee or laws that govern what goes in the cat and dog foods. This is why we have the problem we're having right now. So you think about that the next time you pop a can open to feed little Fifi or little Bono, okay? This is not pretty. And I think it seriously is the tip of the iceberg as far as what is really going on with all the cat and dog foods. This scope is way bigger than anyone will ever know. And the only thing that's safe, really, at this point, is to feed them chicken and rice, turkey and rice that we cook ourselves, or go to a totally holistic food that you can buy. Although, here again, for a lot of us, we can't afford those holistics because they do cost a lot more money. Solid Gold is an excellent brand. They are totally all natural holistic. You can order them off the internet, the Solid Gold products, or there are now a lot of pet stores. I don't think PetSmart or Petco is carrying them yet, but some of your local, local mom and pop operation pet stores are carrying Solid Gold. And it's a great alternative for what we're looking at as the other alternative to all of this. It's real scary out there. That's what I was going to say, too. The dingo chicken treats, they are so contaminated with salmonella, they're telling people that if you even handle them out of the bag, you should make sure to thoroughly wash your hands. Now, they did a voluntary recall. I mean, I think a lot of them are running scared, is what I think. Now, there's just another one that's out now. There's more bad news. And it says pets are not safe yet. We now are talking about tainted rice protein causes new pet food worry. An industrial chemical that led to the nationwide recall of more than 100 brands of cat and dog foods has turned up in a second pet food ingredient imported from China. The discovery expands the month-long cascade of recalls to include more brands and varieties of pet foods and treats tainted by the chemical. The chemical melamine is believed to have contaminated rice protein concentrate used to make a variety of natural balanced pet foods produced for both dogs and cats. This is the one I was telling you about earlier that they just did the recall on last night, early this morning. Previously, the chemical was found to contaminate wheat gluten used by at least six other pet food and treat manufacturers. Both ingredients, see, we're talking about two separate things here now. It's not only the wheat gluten, it's now the rice stuff that they use too. And it says the FDA on Wednesday began reviewing and sampling all rice protein concentrate imported from China, much as the agency has been doing for wheat gluten. A lawmaker said Wednesday the Chinese have refused, the Chinese have refused to grant visas to FDA inspectors seeking to visit the plants where the ingredients were made. An FDA spokesman later said the visas were not refused, but the agency had not received the necessary invitation. Yeah, I'll bet. It troubles me greatly. The Chinese are making it more difficult to understand what led to this pet food crisis, Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, told the Associated Press after meeting with the FDA commissioner, Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach. The House Committee is holding a food safety hearing Tuesday, and it's expected to discuss the pet food recall. And, of course, I already had told you about Natural Balance recalling their venison and brown rice, etc. The recall now includes products made by at least seven companies and sold under 100 brands. The Pacoima, California company said recent laboratory tests showed it recalled products containing melamine. Natural Balance believed the source of the contaminant was rice protein. They're adding now all the dry ones. Well, you know, a month ago we were led to believe it was just the wet, you know, in your pouch foods. I can't think what they're called now. But it resold the ingredients to five pet food manufacturers. Including Diamond Pet Food. Now I'm going to stop here for a minute. Okay, I'm just now reading this myself too, folks, and I'm going to let my jaw drop down for a minute. Because I said Diamond up until 2 months ago, and I myself have lost seven of my babies in 6 months' time, all to kidney failure. And so now, it took me forever to get my vet to admit and to agree with me that it had to be the dog food, because we only had two common denominators going on here. It was either water and the food. That's what my babies were eating, all of them together. So, but they were different breeds, so it couldn't have been genetic. And just now I see that they're talking about. It resold these five ingredients, the rice and the wheat gluten and stuff, to Diamond Pet Foods. Some of my dogs are smart enough, they wouldn't even touch it. They just turn their nose up at it. I should have knew then something was wrong. But this is my own personal experience about this, so it's personal for me too, folks. Anyway, it resold the ingredients to five pet food manufacturers, including Diamond Pet Foods, Inc. of Meta, Missouri. Diamond manufactured the dry dog and cat foods recalled by Natural Balance, Diamond Pet Foods spokesman Jim Fallon said. Now, let's go back a minute and remember. Back January of 2006, Diamond Pet Foods did a voluntary big recall of all their foods made out of the, well, it was Alabama or South Carolina. I can't remember which state it was. They have a big dog food factory there. And they did a recall. And once again, the dogs were dying from kidney and liver failure. This is on Diamond dog food now, folks, just back January. And so I tell you, this has been an ongoing problem for a long time. And a lot of people who have lost their pets over the last year and a half who thought, hey, maybe it was the flea products, which that's another thing we will get into in the show, what the actual ingredients of those are. You'll never put them on your pets again. We're talking Advantage, Frontline, Bios, all those. But I find it interesting. They said they had it now under control. That supposedly, if you'll remember correctly, was supposed to have been about some corn that they bought a bad batch of corn from some grain company that had mold on it, and it caused an aflatoxin, which in turn caused, you know, their kidneys and liver to fail. And there was over 80 cats and dogs that died in that recall and all that. So what I'm telling you folks is there's a lot of things been going on for a long time. And this is all just now coming out, kind of like bubbling over into the general populace. Truth be known, I think we've probably lost a lot of our babies over the years wondering why. I'm a dog groomer, and I wondered why so many of my young clients that were only 3 and 4 years old were starting to die from kidney and liver failure. I didn't think it was the dog food. I thought it was all these flea products that we're using. Well, no, probably a combination of all. It definitely is a lethal dose of everything, isn't it? Anyway, Thatcher said on April 4th, delivery from Foodian Biology included 146 one-ton bags of rice protein concentrate. All were white except for a single pink bag, which was stenciled melamine. Wilbur Ellis isolated the entire shipment at a Portland, Oregon warehouse and sent out samples for testing. The pink bag's contents tested positive for melamine, while the two white bags' tests were negative. Fission Biology later told Wilbur Ellis that a damaged bag was replaced with a clean one. The company then certified the product was all fine. The Las Vegas importer of the contaminated Chinese wheat gluten, Chem Nutra, Inc., remember that name, folks, Chem Nutra, C-H-E-M, capital N-U-T-R-A, Inc., we're finally getting their name, as I said earlier in the show. That's who we need to start investigating. That led to the original pet food recall has suggested that spiking a product with melamine can make it to appear to be richer in protein during tests, thus increasing its value. Oh, Lordy. So this all comes down to corporate's bottom line, which is their dollar, their profit. They could care less, folks. And it's up to us to hold their feet to the fire and make them care. Chem Nutra also imported rice protein concentrate from China, though from another source. Spokesperson Steve Stern said the company is testing more shipments. The recall began March 16th when Menu Foods recalled 60 million cans, as well as we know. The FDA said tests indicated the food was contaminated with all these things. And in case you guys didn't know, melamine is used in making plastics and other industrial processes. Think about that in your baby's bloodstreams and in their kidneys and their livers. No wonder they're not here with us today. Five other companies later recalled pet products also made with wheat gluten contained by the chemical. The FDA has since blocked Chinese imports of wheat gluten. Don't get me started. Menu Foods continues to add more varieties to its recall list. Menu Foods spokesman Sam Bornstein did not know if the Streetville, Ontario-based company also used rice protein concentrate as an ingredient in its pet foods sold under more than 100 different major store brands. Well, folks, my time's about up for today, but I actually just read this article on the air with you guys today, and I now have my smoking gun for my 7 babies, and we will make sure that their deaths were not in vain. Because when I hang up from you folks today, I'm calling my attorney. Now I have the proof that I needed so that I can say, yes, Diamond, you're still going to be held accountable. You think you've escaped this one? Ooh, no. Not yet. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful day. I look forward to the Nick Show. And if you'd like, you can call in the Nick Show and we can start working on where we want to go on for different programming and things of interest to you that we'll research it and we'll walk that line together. Have a great day. And this is Gail Jehala signing off from People in Fur Coats. Bye-bye.